Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and I am here with your Mexican Grand Prix recap. Wow. I think, dare I say, this may be one of the best races of the season, if not the best. Absolute chaos, so many debatable incidents to discuss. My DMs are going crazy. You all have a lot of different thoughts about what went down, so I'm excited to unpack all of it. We went into this weekend with the Drivers' Championship in the order of Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris, Max Verstappen. We now have a new championship leader. Lando Norris leads Oscar Piastri by 1 point, followed by Max Verstappen, who is still in the mix. One quick announcement before we dive into everything. I have started a Substack on Formula One. It's a little bit more business and culture focused and more of my opinion, so to speak. So if you want to check it out, it's just Tiggy Vallon, my name, .substack.com. I'll put it in the episode description. But the first article I put out is about the Apple TV F1 deal. I called it the case for Apple's Formula One takeover because I actually am a little bit more optimistic than it seems like most of you are that I've seen on Instagram and those who have DM'd me and commented on my posts and whatnot. I think the original reel I put out about the Apple deal, it just the comments, I think, as I described in the Substack, quite quickly like turned into an existential meltdown. And I understand that some people are super upset about this for cost reasons. Completely understand that. If you have a cable package or something that gets you ESPN for very low cost, and then now you're thinking of having to buy a whole other subscription as a big extra cost, like obviously that's incredibly frustrating and that sucks. But outside of that, I actually think it's a really interesting deal and one that I feel a little bit more positively about. So I talk about in the article sort of everything we know, everything we don't know, the questions that still need to be answered, and then why it kind of makes sense for both sides. So feel free to check that out. There will be lots more coming, which I'm excited about, a little bit of a new format. In terms of the news leading up to this weekend, there wasn't a ton of news this week. We did have Bad Bunny and Adidas and Mercedes dropping a joint collection. It looks very cool. I love seeing Bad Bunny do more in Formula One. He is heavily sponsored and involved by and with Adidas. So it's going to be fun to see what happens kind of in the lead up to the Super Bowl. Bad Bunny is performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. So cool to see that collection drop. George and Kimmy looked great in it. And I have to say, I mean, George's Instagram at the beginning of the weekend for FP1 when someone else was in his car. Oh my God, he went into Foro Sol disguised in a mask and sat in the crowd and just like watched FP1. I just thought that was so funny. And he posted a selfie on Instagram. I have to believe people recognized him, but from the photos, it doesn't seem like they did, which is kind of crazy. Everybody's just kind of watching and minding their own business. But I think that was one of the better Instagram posts of the season. So go George. I wonder if that was his idea or if it was the team's. But either way, I loved to see that. I was hoping for some Cadillac excitement and announcements, just given the Checo of it all. He was there in Mexico. Checo's Mexican. And both drivers were in attendance. Valtteri was there, maybe more in his reserve driver capacity at Mercedes. But I don't know. I was hoping maybe for like another sponsor announcement or something of the sort. I don't know, maybe like a Mexican sponsor. I'm not sure. But we didn't really get anything that I saw, but correct me if I'm wrong there. All right, for the racing, let's dive into the weekend. FP1, I think, had 9 rookies, which is crazy. And as a reminder, teams have to run rookies in practice, I think, 3 times throughout the season. I could be wrong about that exact number, but Mexico seemed to be the choice for many of the teams, which was wild. Kind of pretty quiet session. Nothing happened, nothing crazy, maybe a few little incidents here and there, but no crashes or anything like that. For quali, so out in Q1, we had Colapinto, Stroll, Gasly, Albon, and Bortoleto. Piastri was struggling. He was complaining about something power unit related at turn 5 and just didn't seem to have the pace for a lot of the weekend. Q2, he struggled to make it through even to Q3, but out we had Lawson, Alonso, Hulkenberg, Ocon, and Tsunoda. The highlight here was Ollie into Q3. His little woo on the radio was so cute. And he's really stepped it up. And we'll obviously get to the race and how incredible of a result he had. But yeah, I was excited to see that for him. In Q3, the track conditions really improved throughout each section of quali. There was a crazy Lando Norris pole by almost 3/10, which is just what he needed, especially with Verstappen and Piastri starting so far behind. So we had Norris, then Leclerc and Hamilton, a Ferrari 2-3, which was very exciting. Then we had George Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, Sainz, Piastri, Hadjar, and Berman. Sainz, unfortunately, had a five-place grid penalty from his incident with Antonelli and Austin, so he dropped down the order. But it was the first top three start for Hamilton in a Ferrari. He was so happy. The crowd was so loud. It was really nice to see him kind of back in his form a little bit. He was asked if he was going to be racy into turn one, and he said that he had nothing to lose while Lando has a lot to lose, so that he wanted to be kind of aggressive heading into that. Which brings us to the race. So super hot, 51 degrees Celsius track temperature, which is kind of unfathomable. And Mexico City has elevation, and so the car setup is a little bit tricky here. And we saw that with some of the reliability issues with the car, especially when it comes to cooling. Like George even was having brake cooling issues, and there was definitely a lot of reliability issues going on. In terms of the start, so most in the top 10 started on the soft tire. Max notably started on mediums. The race was all about kind of a one-stop versus a two-stop, but notably Behrman, Russell, Piastri, Antonelli, all on the two-stop versus some of the others who managed to pull off the one-stop. People did seem to prefer the soft tires, which was interesting, especially just given how hot it was. But the stewards were kept very, very, very busy this race, and we'll get into some of those debates. But for the start, it's kind of a crazy start. It's 830 meters to the first corner. And Ruth, at the beginning of the race, called it the longest drag race in F1. And it is kind of wild. You can go three, or as we saw this race, four wide into turn one. So the top five, as a reminder at the start, were Lando, Charles, Lewis, George, and Max. It was an insane start. Like I said, four wide into the first turn, incredibly chaotic. Lando notably had a really great launch off the line, and then Max also did as well, but he went all the way off track, and Norris kept the lead, Charles and Lewis behind, and then Max ahead of George. George was furious. He thought that Max should have to give the position back, but if you watch back, Max was already ahead of George by the time he went off track, so there wasn't really a position to give back, but George, that was the beginning of George's frustrations this race. Really good start from Lando, like I said, and then also Berman, who got up to P6 starting, I think, P9. Haas had brought upgrades, so I think that was part of it, but also Ollie just had a really incredible weekend all around. Notably, Piastri lost several places on the start down to P9, so that was a little worrying at the beginning, and then we'll talk about his comeback a little bit, but yeah, not a great start from him. Then there was some lap six craziness. It was a battle between Verstappen, Hamilton, Ollie, Berman, who was up five places. Max made a move up the inside of a turn, made contact with Hamilton, who then went off track and rejoined and was able to rejoin in P3, but then he got a 10-second penalty for leaving the track and gaining an advantage, which went from a beautiful day for Hamilton to a horrible one pretty quickly. So I did a poll on Instagram asking you all if you thought that this 10-second penalty was fair or not. And safe to say, I think over 80% of you think that it was not fair. And I agree. First of all the incidents that happened in the race, it's frustrating that this was the only action the stewards took, and it was a 10-second penalty. 10 seconds, unfortunately, is the standard penalty for that incident if the stewards do deem you guilty of going off track and gaining an advantage. But that brings me to my second point. I take issue with the fact that leaving the track and gaining an advantage is automatically penalized to the exact same extent as intentionally causing a collision. That doesn't make sense to me. Why not 5 seconds? Why not, I don't know, you just have to give the position back. I get in this case that was probably a little complex to do so, but still, frustrating. And then thirdly, and most importantly to me, as Lewis said, there was no grip there. It was the choice in my mind of a crash or finish the race. And Lewis chose to finish the race. I also can't help but wonder if Ferrari didn't fight on his behalf enough. I mean, they did come on the radio and they said the whole, we don't agree with this thing, but I really am curious how much went on behind the scenes in terms of a fight. And yeah, it really bothered me, that decision by the FIA. Some other radio moments that happened this week that are worth talking about. So Red Bull had like a hot mic situation where GP came on the radio and was asking which strategy they were on. He was like, are we on a one stop or a two stop? And Max was like, I can hear everything. It was just a good reminder that the race engineer is not the strategist. So presumably GP was asking Hannah Schmitz, like, what strategy are we on? But it was kind of hilarious that the radio was on for that. could have been so much worse. The other good radios, well, some of the most talked about, George Russell talking about how he has a McLaren up his, you know what, do you want me to let him pass? This was all in the context of Russell wanting to get by Kimi because he felt like he had more pace and Kimi wasn't able to pass Berman, and Russell really thought that he was able to be in podium contention and said, you know, I'll give the position back if I'm not able to succeed in that, but please let me through. And Mercedes came on the radio and they were like, well, you're free to pass him, basically, like, stop asking us to switch positions and just like do it on track, which I will talk about in a little bit. But some other funny radios, I mean, Albon, he had some really spicy ones, including, this might be the worst strategy I've ever, like, he didn't even finish the sentence. He was just like, this is so, so bad. He was really frustrated on the radio for much of it. I mentioned the reliability issues. So Lawson, Hulkenberg, Alonso all retired with reliability issues, which was a tough circuit for all the various parts and cooling. And then I mentioned George also had brake cooling issues. And then Sainz, who had an issue with his pit limiter. He got multiple drive-through penalties for that and then ended up pulling off and retiring at the same time that there was this insane last two-lap battle between Charles and Max. And then the VSC was deployed right when Carlos stopped, which was like, I don't know, there was like a lap and a half left, but they didn't show Carlos's car. One of you DM'd me and said that it was on fire, so that the VSC was called for, but they never showed it, and I'm not sure if that's true. So the big question here was the virtual safety car needed? And I did a poll on this. I asked if the virtual safety car was unfair, and 75% of you said, yes, there was no need for it. The announcers were confused. They thought it was in a safe spot. So I'm confused and don't feel like I have enough information to say whether or not it was warranted. But I did like Max's attitude in the post-race interview where he just said there are a lot of times he's benefited from virtual safety cars and sometimes they just don't land in your favor. So I thought that was a good attitude to take. But it was an incredibly entertaining race despite the fact that Lando won by 30 seconds. I mean, he just pulled away from the beginning in such a Max-coded sailing off into the sunset move. He was already 14 seconds ahead by like lap 27 or 28, and then he won again by over 30 seconds. But the order in the podium, first we had Lando, Charles, and Max, but the real highlight was Ollie Berman. Now, it looked like he was potentially in contention for a podium for much of the race. Unfortunately, Max is just too good, and the Red Bull strategy was on point, even though it seemed like a bit of a gamble for much of the race. But it would have been very cool because Haas has not scored a podium in their entire F1 history. So would have been cool, but we will settle for P4. He was so happy on the radio. That is my radio of the week. He was just like, yes, come on. And then he said something like, oh, that's sweet. That feels good. Like, we can have a big, big group photo now. And then he said, I love you. It was just very cute. And that really made, that was the cherry on top of a really great race. And then following Ollie, there was Oscar, Kimi, and then George. The end of F1 season sneaks up fast, and then all of a sudden it's holiday season, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I really have been using Uncommon Goods for years, and I actually got someone in my life a book full of New York Times covers from their birth year over the years. It's one of the most special, customizable gifts I've ever seen, and that person still talks about it as their favorite gift they've ever received. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard Formula One fans and football fans, to foodies, mixologists, avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating, reduce sugar cravings, help you feel satisfied longer, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire order with code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. MVP, really obvious one, Ollie Berman. I mean, just his, by far his best drive in Formula One so far. He's really been on a tear these last couple races, and I'm excited to see what comes next. I mean, he'll be with Haas, so it's going to be fun to see if Haas does well with the 2026 regulations and where Ollie might go. But I've been loving seeing some of these rookies like really have their moments to shine, and most of them really have, which has been cool. I think Ollie Berman was one of the last ones that hadn't had a really standout race, but finally Ollie has gotten that. I mean, Kimi had his podium, Isaac had his podium, Bortoleto had a really great drive here and there. Maybe Lawson also hasn't had like a super standout race, but overall, happy with the rookies getting their time to shine. It was really cute seeing his dad. He was so excited in the garage. And then after, both his dad and his girlfriend were crying. It was just so sweet. That really made me tear up. And so yeah, very well deserving of an MVP. And then I'll also have to give it to Lando. I think he's really turned it on when it matters. That was a perfect race. To win by 30 seconds is as clear of a statement as you can deliver, that he is here, the momentum is in his favor. Obviously, there's still a little ways to go, and momentum is powerful, but if you look at the numbers, they're only 1 point apart, so this is still anyone's game, including Max Verstappen. I don't think Lando fans can get too carried away. I don't think Oscar fans can be too depressed, and I think Max fans still have a lot to hope for. The championship is still wide open, but really, really incredible stuff from Lando, and he definitely does seem to have the momentum these days. That kind of brings me to my LVP a little bit relatedly, but the loud booing in the post-race interview for Lando, I just don't think is ever okay, regardless of who you support. I'm so disappointed to hear that, because first of all, booing is just unsportsmanlike. It doesn't make you a better fan, and I'm sure the drivers that you do root for don't actually want to see you booing their competitors, let alone their teammates. Like, if you're booing Lando because you like Oscar, then I don't know, that's just bad team dynamics and team vibes. Like, I don't really get that. You're pitting these drivers against each other, and of course, they already are against each other in the sort of competitive way. So I don't know, why pile on? Especially for two reasons. One, Lando did nothing wrong in this race. You may be upset with McLaren for thinking that they favor Lando. You may be upset with Lando for incidents in past races. I don't think that that should give you the right to loudly boo someone in a race where he did nothing wrong. There was no, like, Oscar and Lando were so far from each other this whole race, there was no moment for anything. And I'm assuming that that's why fans were booing Lando. I honestly don't even know why. So that's one. But the second reason is, and yes, these are athletes, they can take it, they're at the top of their game, they have to be mentally tough. But for someone who experiences a lot of anxiety and has been open about mental health issues and whatnot, why would you pile on and make someone feel bad about a moment in their career that's really exciting? He's leading the championship for the first time in a long time. I don't know. I was just really disappointed. I will get off my soapbox about that. Actually, one of you was DMing me about how you disagree with that and you think that Lando should be able to take it and booing is okay and McLaren favors him. And so, like, let the fans do what they want. And I don't subscribe to that. I think you're perfectly entitled to have your own opinion about whether you like Lando or not, whether you like what McLaren has done or not, whether you support the actions, but I just don't think there's a place for booing. And that's that on that. So for some discussion points, I think on the McLaren topic, the question really is, what in the world is going on with Oscar Piastri? Is he capitulating under pressure? Are there conspiracy theories out there about someone sabotaging the car? He has been treated so poorly internally that he's just like not able to, I don't know, not able to perform. I don't subscribe to conspiracy theories, but I also don't have an answer. It does seem bizarre to me that Oscar's drop in performance over the past several races has like felt so stark. So I'm really not sure what's going on and I hate to see it. But if it is the pressure, then I of course feel bad and hope that he regains his confidence and keeps the excitement in the championship for all of our sakes. But of course, like also most importantly, his own sake. So I don't really know what's going on, but I am sad to see that the performance isn't really there. He did have a decent recovery drive today, but that was after not qualifying well and then losing a couple positions on the start and climbing back, but not into anywhere near podium contention. So that was a bummer. And then the other topic of discussion is Mercedes. So their decision to let George and Kimi race versus giving team orders to let George through at the beginning. They just said, George, you've got to pass him on track. And I think it was Julian Palmer who was like, Marcus Dudley, you are a braver man than I for telling George that. They finally then changed their mind, ordered a position swap, and George promised to give it back if he didn't succeed in overtaking Berman and getting a podium. But my thoughts on this, I mean, there's the underlying question of, are we sort of seeing another version of Papaya rules with Mercedes in terms of the fairness? I think some people feel like Mercedes really likes Kimi and favors Kimi and doesn't really give George the time of day. And George is an underrated driver, even by his own team. I personally was happy to see George fighting for himself there. We don't see George super frustrated on the radio a lot, and we don't hear him like that a lot, swearing and all these things. And I don't know. I like the hunger there, and I like that George was fighting for himself. He really believed that he had the pace and he should be let by. Of course, there's also the argument of if you're that fast, then pass him on track. But Mexico's not the easiest track to pass on, so he probably didn't want to risk an incident. But then on the flip side, I think it was equally good for Kimi, who then immediately asked for the position back as soon as George was passed by Piastri. And George did give it back right away. So I thought it was like relatively good sportsmanship from them, a little bit of a hesitancy on the Mercedes side. If they had let George through earlier and not cooked his tires, would he maybe have been in contention for a podium fighting with Max? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think Mercedes favors Kimi over George necessarily, but I don't know. I gave my thoughts on the whole George not getting his own contract announcement thing last episode. And I do feel for him a little bit. And it feels like he's never really the star, even when he's performing really well. But we'll keep an eye on all that. All right. For the standings, the Drivers' Championship, we have Lando Norris 1 point ahead of Oscar Piastri, 357 to 356. He has pulled ahead to take the lead. Max Verstappen is 35 points behind Oscar Piastri at 321, George at 258, Charles at 210, Lewis at 146, Kimi at 97, Alex Albon at 73, Nico Hülkenberg at 41, and Isaac Hadjar at 39. And importantly, Ollie went from P18 to P13 with this race, so jumping up 5 places on that grid. I love it. For constructors, McLaren 713, Ferrari 356, Mercedes 355. So Ferrari has overtaken Mercedes for constructors, but only by 1 point. And then Red Bull is only 9 points behind Mercedes at 346, which is still insane to me. That's basically one person's score. And then Williams 111, Racing Bull 72, Aston Martin 69, Haas has jumped up to 62, Kick Sauber 60, Alpine 20. Well, that's all for now. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts in the comments on YouTube, Spotify, or on Instagram and TikTok. Again, subscribe to Substack if you're interested in more of the sort of business and culture side of Formula One and a different sort of flavor to the podcast and the Instagram and all of that. But I have a very special interview coming for you all next week, so keep an eye out for that. And then onwards to Sao Paulo.